Last Sunday, we were speaking on Luke chapter 2, the familiar story about the birth of Jesus and the angels and the shepherds and that whole story. Today, we'd like to continue in that second chapter of Luke and go on to verse 21 and following. And it's Luke chapter 2, 21 through 38. And we're going to look at the three different events that occurred in the life of Jesus as a small baby, as we see some of the things that happened. This is probably all before the coming of the wise men, that we know that story. I'm going to look at that next week, the Lord willing, but the story of the wise men. But we want to look at the events that occurred before this, a very important part of the life of Jesus, even as a youngster here. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every male who is firstborn, or who first opens the womb, shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to the what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was a righteous and devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came into the temple. And when the priest brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God, and to speak to him, and to all who were awaiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. We have here part of the story that some of us know, but some parts of it are not as well known, and certainly people do not always understand the significance, why this material has to be included here by Dr. Luke. But everything has its purpose when God allows something to be put into his word. It's all very strategic, and that is also true here. There are 3 events that take place here. The first one has to do with the law of Moses that we see taking place. Verse 21 is quite significant. It says that after 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. There we see 3 things being spoken about there, all that were part of this initial visit to the temple itself. According to the law of Moses, on the 8th day, a male child was intended to be circumcised as a sign of the Abrahamic covenant that God made long before this. Now, the Abrahamic covenant was such that all who were in this were Jewish people by nationality. Some of them became Jewish people by joining later on. They were Gentiles, but they became part of Israel. However, you must understand that not all people who were in the Abrahamic covenant at this time were necessarily believers. Some were. Some of them, though they were part of this covenant, yet, as the Bible says, they are not all the seed of Abraham who are Abraham's physical descendants. And that's very true. That's something that we need to realize, that just because a person was part of the Abrahamic covenant in the Old Testament times did not automatically make them a believer, although many of them were. The thing that's important about this, though, is that God is showing that His Son is now going to be fulfilling every responsibility and every duty that He has to fulfill in order to become the Messiah of Israel. It starts right here on the eighth day with Him being circumcised as a Jew, being one who is acknowledged to be part of Abraham's descendants and so forth, part of the Abrahamic covenant itself. And this is quite important, because what would happen if He did not do this? He would have been in disobedience. Now, as a baby, you say, well, what could He know about doing this? But, of course, His parents were very faithful. God selected His natural parents very carefully. Mary was one who was very obedient to the Lord. Joseph, as we saw in some of our own studies, is a man who was very caring and very thoughtful. Everything God told Joseph to do, as a result of this whole experience, he did. He followed the Lord in everything. And that was very important, because in order for Jesus Christ to be your Savior and my Savior, He had to be one who fulfilled the law of God, both the Old Testament law and the new and better covenant of the New Testament. All of this had to be taken care of. And if it were not, He could not die for His for your sins. He could only die for His own. So on the eighth day, He comes up, and two things happen here. Number one, they told that Jesus was to be circumcised on the eighth day according to what the law had said and according to what was in the covenant that God made with Abraham. They did this. They didn't ignore it. They didn't just say, oh, well, it's not such a big deal. They went very faithfully and had this done. And they did something else, too. They named Him by the name that God had already told them to name this baby with. Remember that when the first announcement was made that Mary was going to have a child, already the name was given. There was no question about the name like there was in the case of John the Baptist. You remember that some of the people wanted to name John the Baptist by a different name, but didn't want to call him John, but thought maybe that Zechariah Jr. would be a good name. But he was very clear about that too, that they had to follow the name that God had selected. But here we see this happening too with the earthly parents here of Jesus, the one who are His legal parents here. And so they're fulfilling the name that was given to Him. Why? Because this name is so critically important. The name Joshua was a very important name in Scripture. And this name here is the same thing. Joshua did the people of Israel a great service by helping to bring them from the land of Egypt into the promised land. And so also Jesus Christ does that for us. He is the one who takes us from a world of sin and of rebellion and everything else. And yet by faith in Him and by belonging to Him and being identified with Him, we can be brought safely into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, His name is like the Hebrew word for Joshua. It means Savior or salvation. And so the name was very carefully chosen, and it had to be fulfilled. It all took place initially on the eighth day. But there was another aspect of the law that some people are not as clear about and don't understand. But you know, if you were a male son, the firstborn in a family, there was something that your parents had to do according to the law. You had to take that firstborn son to the temple and dedicate that son to the Lord. And the only exception to this was you could take the child to the temple and dedicate him to the Lord, but you could pay a price of redemption and thereby allow him to do something other in his life than be a prophet or a priest or anything like that. According to the law, the firstborn son was to be dedicated to the Lord for his special service. The only time that that was turned around was when God himself provided the way of redemption. Sometimes people hear the word redeemed, and you say, what does that mean? It means, is very simply this, to be redeemed means to be set free. To be set free by the payment of a price. And that's what had to happen here too. Jesus Christ is being brought by his parents, and they are having him set free from any obligation that would naturally be upon them to have him being led into some sort of spiritual occupation. Of course, God knew that he was going to have that kind of thing. He was going to become the Savior of the whole world. But nonetheless, his redemption would be something that would come directly from God, and it would not be because the parents were keeping the law. So they go up that day, and this was now not mentioned the time, but it was on the 40th day, okay? This is something that all happened in the first few months of Jesus being here in this world. On the eighth day, he was circumcised and he was publicly named. But on the 40th day, they took him and they had him redeemed and offered to the Lord in an offering of purification. This involved the bringing of a lamb. If you were a person of normal means and a normal amount of money. But if you were a poor person, you couldn't bring a lamb. And so you had a second choice, and that second choice is the one here that Luke decides to specifically mention. According to the law, if you could not bring a lamb, you could bring a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, and you could offer them to the Lord as an act of redemption, of setting the older son free, and also a sign of God's purification and so forth. Now, offering these things did not purify the person, but it was, again, a picture of a sacrificial offering whereby someone could be regarded as being purified or cleaned in God's sight until such time as what? Until Christ himself died on the cross and provided the full means of our salvation. Isn't that amazing, too, that the Redeemer of the whole a believing community had to be one who was also redeemed? First, he had to be redeemed as a small child, 40 days old. Later on, he himself, the one who had his parents had purchased his redemption, now later on, he is going to be the Redeemer who will purchase our redemption. Isn't that amazing how that all fits together? But it was all part of God's plan, and it all had to be followed through very carefully. Otherwise, Jesus would not have been living up to the full standard of the law. If he had not done that, like I keep telling you, there would have been nothing but trouble because he would have been a lawbreaker, and he would not have been able to provide salvation for us. But very carefully, his parents were very thoughtful about this whole thing, and they did everything that they were supposed to do. And this was all according to the plan of God, and the full redemption price was taking place, and the proper name was being given, and the circumcision was taking place. All this occurred there at the temple in the first 2 months that Jesus was born, all part of getting him ready for a future ministry that he would have for all of us. The second thing that happened at the temple, though, is rather significant. I spoke about this the other day at Story Point, and you know the Bible study that I have there at Story Point is of elderly people. I mean, I don't want to try to estimate their age, but many of them are even older than me, and I'm getting pretty old, you know. But, I mean, they're far older than me. And so I was glad to be able to speak about this part because, you know, sometimes people think, well, you know, the important thing was, you know, be a Christian while you're young because when you get to be old, you know, there's not much you can do for God or not much that's important or anything like that. Wrong. We're going to see from this story here today that God loves people. God loves not only young children, but he also loves the older people in the community of faith as well. And we're going to look at two people here who were model Christians in their day. The first one is a man that is named Simeon. What is so unique about him? Well, simply this. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God was upon him. Now, usually when that language is used in the Old Testament, it's often talking about someone who was a designated prophet of the Lord or someone who had a special anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him in order to do the work of God. Now, we don't know exactly what this man did in every way, but we do know one thing. The Holy Spirit was upon him. This man was one who was walking close with the Lord. He had a good relationship with God, and he knew all about the promise of salvation and the promise of Messiah's coming, and he was praying regularly that that would take place, praying that God would somehow make that happen even before he would leave the world through his own death. Well, surprise, surprise. God came to him one day and said, Simeon, I've good news. You're not going to die until you will see the Messiah for whom you have been praying. This is a sign of God's great love for this man because it's a special favor. God didn't have to do this. He could just as easily have died a few years before this and missed the entire event of Jesus being brought to the temple. But God thought differently. God wanted to honor this man because of his great faith and his great commitment and because he was a spirit-filled man anointed by God and one that was seeking to live for the Lord, and the Lord said, all right, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to send Jesus to the temple. I'm going to let you see the Christ even before you die. This is a great thrill. It's probably the greatest thrill in this man's life that ever happened because when it took place, he is just overjoyed that he is privileged to be able to see the Messiah and what's more, to pick up this baby and pick up that child and hold the child in his own arms. You know, when a new baby is born, sometimes those of us who are grandparents, if we get a chance to pick up a new grandbaby that's been born or something like that, we say, oh, isn't that nice? We get to see this little one. Even before our own death has come someday, we were able to see this grandchild before we left the world. Well, in this case, God had a lot more significance to it than that because he was honoring a man because of his great faithfulness and because he was a spirit-filled, indwelt man. And God said, I'm going to let this be seen. Personally, I think that Simeon was a prophet. And I say that not only because the Holy Spirit was upon him, but also because he spoke a clear revelation about future things that were going to happen too. Listen to what he says. You have prepared in the presence of all the people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Now that is most remarkable. Here's a man who is in the temple all the time, one who's definitely a dedicated Christian Jew, and yet he starts talking about God's light of his salvation, and what does he do? The first thing he mentions, he says, this is going to be a light for the Gentiles. Already, in this man's mind, he understood that God was going to fulfill a promise made to Abraham long before this. Remember in Genesis 12, God had said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and the blessing I'm going to bring, you are going to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Including what? Not just Jews, but Gentiles as well. And now we see Simeon here knowing that whole fact to be true, that this Christ who has come is going to be for not only a light for the people of Israel or for the glory of the people of Israel, but a light for the Gentiles as well. A light of revelation. For years, the Gentile people, for the most part, had wandered off and following their own ways and did not know the God of Israel or the special relationship that God had made with the Jewish people. But now, that was all going to change. Here we see in this announcement here the fact that this man understood the Abrahamic covenant and what was going to happen under the new covenant age, that now the blessings were going to open up as wide as the world. What does God want us to do? Bring the gospel to everyone. Go ye into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Why do we do it to every nation? Because God now has opened up the way for a light of revelation to Gentile peoples as well. This man understood that. I'm so glad that God did that too, because you know what? That's how we got in. You know, I wasn't born a Jew. I was one simply born a Gentile and later on became a Christian because I was shown the light of the gospel. And I was able to be led into the knowledge of these things. But if I had been born a Jew way back in the Old Testament times, I might not have or not have known this if I were not a Jew, rather. But anyway, there's something else that happened here too. This man, I think, was a prophet because he also knew what was going to come with this Messiah. Most people were thinking about what? They were thinking, Messiah is going to come. He's going to be the king of Israel. He's going to take over the whole kingdom. He's going to throw out all the Romans, and everything's going to be peaceful here in Jerusalem. Now, I believe that one day the Lord is truly going to come back to the earth and that he is going to rule and reign. I believe in the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. I think the Bible's very clear about that. But remember one thing. Before any of that was going to happen, something else had to happen, and that was that this child, was going to have to be one who would be put to death, who would be a sorrow for his own mother. Can you imagine finding this out on the day that you're offering your child up as a redeemer? Your son, one day what happens to him is going to be pierce into your heart. It's going to be for the fall and the rising of some. The ones for whom it was a rising were, some people are going to be brought to salvation because of him, but you know what? Some people are going to be lost because of him too, because they're going to reject him. And it will be for the fall of these individuals. And you know, that same thing is true today. The gospel now is going out in this new covenant age to people all over the world. But you know what? Some people, it is a rise. Some people are being brought to salvation through the light of the gospel that's going forth. And we thank God for everybody who is being saved. But you know what? Some people are not doing it. They hear about it. Some people even know the gospel story, but they do not respond. And as a result, it is for the fall of such people. And that's a tragic thing. But here, this prophet declares this. Even before any of it is being realized, God already knows exactly what is happening. He's going to be for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword shall pierce your own soul, so that the thoughts through many hearts may be revealed. What an amazing man. He had this all in this information given to him by the Lord because he was full of the Holy Spirit and was able to declare all of these things about Christ. You know, why should we be surprised in the future that Christ would have to die and that Mary would have to experience pain? Why should we be surprised that many would be brought to salvation, even Gentiles, and there would be many people too that would not come? All of this had been clearly declared. Remember, whatever the Bible says, whatever the Word of God teaches by God's messengers, it's always true. It always comes true, and that has happened right here again. It didn't take place at this moment, but it was going to happen. And it did, very clearly. But this is not the full story that day in the temple. Because God never works things out wrongly. He always has them work right. So just at that particular day, while Simeon is now holding up the Messiah and praising God and telling Mary all these amazing things, things so amazing that even Joseph and Mary, when they hear about him, they're astounded at what they're learning here from this older man who's full of the Holy Spirit. Just as this whole thing is happening, all of a sudden what happens? There was a prophetess, Anna, daughter of Phanuel. She was advanced in years and so forth. Anyway, what does it say? And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him to all who were also waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? They just happened to show up at the same time. Simeon and Anna. We're kind of partial to the name Anna. We have a daughter by that name. Our daughter Lisa, we call her Lisa, but it's actually Elizabeth Ann is her full name. And Anna means grace. And Elizabeth is gift of God. Gift of God, grace. It's a wonderful name. And here is this lady, this Anna. And what a woman. 7 years she had been married, and then her husband dies. Why, she's just a very young wife yet. What's she going to do? She decides that she's going to dedicate her life to the Lord. And you know what? She comes to the temple every day, and she prays, and she fasts, and she serves in various different ways. And you notice that this lady is one who knows the scriptures too, because it says that she is one who is able to do all sorts of things by way of teaching about the things of the Lord. She spoke to him, to all, about him, to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She was not just an ordinary lady. She was a very fine Christian and one of several women, by the way, in the Bible who are called prophetesses. Did you ever notice how many people in the Bible who were ladies were actually prophetesses? Well, let me give you a couple of the names here once. You might be surprised when you think about how many of them there really are. But first of all, there was Miriam. Remember Miriam from the Old Testament? She was a prophetess. Number two, there was a lady named Deborah who was a judge. Judges chapter 4, also a prophetess, one who knew the word of the Lord and declared messages from him. All right, there was another lady named Huldah, 2 Kings 22, same thing, prophetess. There was a lady named Noadiah in Nehemiah chapter 6. A prophetess of the Lord. There was a man who was a prophet in Israel, Isaiah, but he had a wife. Isaiah's wife was also a prophetess. Did you know that? You can read about it in Isaiah 8. And there was one other character in the Bible that knew something about having women prophetesses also, and that was a man who was an evangelist. His name was Philip. And he's talked about in the book of Acts, chapter 21. Philip the evangelist had four daughters, and all four of his daughters were prophetesses. they could all speak the word of the Lord clearly and teach other people about the things of God. They knew the Bible. Now, I don't know what capacity that was. Some people say, well, do you think, you know, God had women preachers then and all that? And I know you could get into a whole big debate about that. I'm not going to do that. All I'm going to tell you is this, that there were several people, even Philip's own daughters, who were well taught and who could teach other people about the things of God. Now, you might say, well, maybe that was just a ladies' group. I don't know who it all was. All I know is that they knew the scriptures and could speak it clearly. And that is what I think is quite significant. So here she is. She's coming into the temple just like she always does. Every day, comes in there, night and day, worshiping God, praising God, serving in the temple, telling people about the Lord. All of a sudden, what happens? God says, you know, you've been waiting for the Messiah. There he is. See that guy over there, that Simeon who's holding that baby? That's the one. That's the Messiah. And you know what? She is thrilled too. And what does she do? She does what all Christians want to do. If they're excited about their salvation, what did the shepherds do when they found out from the angels that the Messiah had been born? What did they do? They left that place. And they went back and they told everybody about what they had seen and heard, right? Same thing with Anna. What did she do? Well, the scripture says here, that very hour she began to speak to him, to all who were awaiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She went around that temple and she was telling everybody, boy, do you know what has happened? We just had the Messiah here today at the temple. The one that we've been waiting for, the one we've been praying for, the one that God promised way back in the Garden of Eden, who's going to crush Satan and all of that. That Messiah has come. He was here. And she would tell everybody about that person, about the Messiah who had come. An amazing lady. You see, it doesn't matter if you're old or if you're young or if you're somewhere in the middle. God has a place and a love for all believers. You know what? If you know Jesus Christ, whether you're a young believer or an old believer, God is pleased that you know the Lord, that you have given your life to Him. And if you haven't, you can still do it because there's still an opportunity available for old and young alike to come to know the Lord. But you know what? If you have given your life to the Lord, you can serve the Lord in so many different ways, no matter what your age is. Don't think that, well, just because I'm getting older now, I'm getting to be too old. I can't do anything anymore. Phooey. Simeon and Anna were going to the temple all the time, and they were a blessing to the people of God. How many people in Israel and in that temple community learned about things that they didn't know from the scriptures and things that they didn't know about Messiah and all that? They learned it from these older people. Old or young, God can use anyone to bring His message across to everyone. And so I looked at that story and I thought, you know, I'm going to be talking here to these folks at Story Point and they're getting older. But you know what? They've been listening to me. I'm getting older too. But you know what? There's at least one man I know down there who he's older than me. But you know what? He led one of the young workers there to the Lord. He found out that she didn't know about Christ, and he sat down and explained the whole gospel to her. And she prayed to receive Jesus Christ and has accepted Christ as her personal Savior. An older lady much older gentleman simply had told the story of the gospel. And now another believer has come home. Another one is ready for the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that fantastic? We can all do that. In fact, as we are all expected to do that, we are all to tell. Everyone is to tell. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is, yes, but how are they going to know unless God sends somebody who speaks the word? And that's what these people did. I look at that story and I think, man, oh man, what a beautiful story that's all part of the birth story of that first Christmas and Jesus coming to earth and the things that were all happening around him. Later on, he would, of course, train disciples who would be able to go all over the world, and they would have people follow them, and on and on and on throughout history. Even today, we are experiencing the blessing of those who pass the word along. But you know, way back here in this temple, they were already beginning this at the first Christmas. And you know what? It's not too late for us to be doing that too, because I'll tell you something. When they knew that Messiah had come, they wanted everybody to know it. Well, you know what? The only thing that we have today that is better than what they had, we know that Messiah has already come. We can bring the message that Messiah has come, that redemption has been brought to us. But we can also bring a second message, and that is the fact that he's coming again, too. This one who came the first time, who said he would and did, has now going to come again. You know why? Because he promised it. And it'll happen. I don't know when. I'm sure hoping that it's soon, because I look at the situation in the world today and I think, boy, you know, how much longer can it go with some of the stuff going on? But you know what? It doesn't matter in the plan of God. God has everything under control. And everything's going to happen at just the right time. Simeon and Anna are going to show up in the temple at just the right moment. Everything happens by the right moment. Galatians chapter 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. And that's an important thing. In the fullness of time, God always does what he's going to do. In perfect planning, perfect description, perfect everything is being executed just the way that he's always intended it. So, remember that when you think about Christmas. Think about the fact that Christmas isn't just for the little kids and the nice toys and all the gifts and everything. It's all nice stuff. I mean, it's a lot of fun to sit around with the younger kids and see them open their presents, and they see their happiness that they maybe got something that they liked or whatever. That's all wonderful. But you know what? The greatest thing of all is that for old or young alike, salvation has come. Messiah has been here. Our redemption has been made complete. Now all we have to do is what? Receive it. Act upon it. And you know what? If we do, one day when he does come again, we're going to see him face to face, just like those people long ago saw him. We're going to see him face to face. And you know what? When that happens, we will be with him. And you know what? The Bible says, from that point on, we will always be with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? When we first see Jesus, we're always going to be with him. No matter what the future plans of God might be too, we'll always be with him. And you know what? You've already put that into place. If you are a Christian now and you've already received him, you can know for certain today that because you belong to him, because he is your Savior, that you will always be with the Lord. There's not any question about what's going to happen. Heaven awaits. God has a plan for us. And anyone who receives him, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. God said it. God's always right. Well, let's pray to God now. Father in heaven, as we think about this old story from way, way back and all the things that went into it and what a marvelous day it must have been in that temple long ago, as we think about all of this, we realize that you have done a great work. You have done a work that we could never have imagined in our wildest dreams. And yet, Lord, you brought it all to pass. Everything, even the pain and suffering that your son would also bear, yet even that plan was all part of the plan, and it was all there for us and for our salvation. Lord, help us to appreciate that fact, to live for Jesus in all that we do, and to follow him and trust in him always. Lord, we pray this now all in the name of Jesus, our Savior. We pray it in his holy name. Amen.